Shabasa. Shabaha. Now, Lord, look favorably upon me, your man servant, as I share the word of God, think through my mind and speak through my mouth. Let there be none of me and all of you. So everything said and done, you'll be glorified. And then come by shouting, and this people edified. In the matchless and powerful name of Jesus, there is an anointing on your word. It is never your word that need to be anointed. It's always the lives of men. Allow the anointing that's on this word to rest on my life right now. In the matchless and powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Every believer said, thank God and amen. Now look at your neighbor and say to him, and say, neighbor, there is a word from the Lord today. You're in the right place at the right time. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We thank you so much for joining us in this time of what we call morning glory. Amen. Thank God. I love morning glory. Amen, amen. If you will, open your Bibles to the book of Joshua, the 8th chapter, verse number 1. We've been talking all this year about divine guidance and courageous faith. Come on, say divine guidance and courageous faith. And one thing we've noted throughout this conversation is God was always talking about being strong and very courageous. And we've noted that when they were strong and they were very courageous, when they were obedient and they were submitted, we noticed that the hand of God always showed itself strong. We've also noted just from reading the chapter Joshua 4 and 24 that God explains to Israel why he has been, and I want you to get that, Joshua 4 and 24. God explains to Israel why he has been so good to them, showed them so many miracles. In the Amplified Version, please, he said to them, I've done this because so that all the people of the earth may know without a doubt and acknowledge that the hand of the Lord is mighty and extraordinarily powerful, so that you will fear the Lord your God and obey and worship him with profound awe and reverence forever. In essence, God said, I want you to live a life of reverence for me and not a life of being stuck in your past or stuck in your memories or stuck in what happened, but I want you to live a life of reverence for me. That was the goal. And of course, all Israel had to do was continue to what? Obey and worship. Everybody say obey and worship. That is the difference as I was looking at the way many churches operate today with this, the type of revelations that they're, or the type of things that they're calling revelation. As they look through the scriptures and they search the scriptures, they come up with this profound understanding that there is no sin called fornication, that there's nothing, there's no sin called fornication. Fornication is not a sin. All of those other sexual things that they do, they said those are not sins. Those are not sins. In fact, they've come with a revelation that they're only a sin if you do them in a group. Lord, come on, say, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. And God said something to me. He said, Red, you got to be careful in this day and time. You're living in a time where people come now. They don't come to worship me. He said, obey and worship. They don't come to obey me. They don't come to worship me. They come to church for information. They come to church for information. They want somebody to tell them something. They want somebody to dissect something and tear it down and make it easy or worm their way out of it. Or it, I can't even call it untampered mortar. It ain't mortar at all. It just stacked bricks. And so this is what God said. He said information without revelation would not produce transformation. Come on, say information without revelation would not produce transformation. If you want to experience transformation, there has to be revelation. There has to be an unveiling of the word of God. The Bible said people cast off, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraints. They cast off restraints because there is no revelation. Anytime you're living your life without revelation, that is the highest level of knowledge known and released us from God. If you're living life without that revelation, you're living life without the favor of God. And we watched Israel as they had tremendous victories because they had obeyed God. They had walked extraordinarily obedient and submitted to the will of God. They'd done so by demonstration, not just by word. They'd done so by demonstration, and that caused God to do miraculous miracles among them. He said to Joshua, and Joshua, it may be the fourth chapter, third chapter, verse number 8. Go to Joshua 3 and 8. right quick. He said this to Joshua 3 and 8. You may command the priest. Back up verse number 7. I think that's where it is. Yeah. The Lord said, Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify and exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so they may know that just as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. He said, I want to magnify who I am in your life. Watch this. It becomes impossible for God to do that when we're not walking in submission and obedience. It's impossible for God to do that when we're not walking in submission and obedience. And so as long as Joshua led the people and the people responded to what God said, he brought them to submission. He brought them to experience the miraculous, the magnified hand of God. Everybody knew that the hand of God was on them. And I don't know about you. I want everybody to know the hand of God is on me. In fact, I've been praying. Can I tell you what I've been praying? I don't care about you knowing. I said, God, make me great for your glory. I didn't know talking about a house, I'm not talking about a car, I'm not even talking about a big bank account. Just make it so that when you need me to do something, when the sick is among us, when the oppressed is among us, when those that are weak in faith is among us, make me great for your glory. There ought to be something in you that came from God, that, oh my God, that can release the glory of God on the lives of somebody else. That ought to be the goal. And you cannot do that when you're not in line, when you're not in alignment, with God. You got to be in alignment with God. So we get to Joshua, the 8th chapter. Let me tell you what has happened. Joshua and the children of Israel up to this point have enjoyed the favor of God. But in chapter 7, something happens. I don't want to go back to chapter 7, but I guess I got to go back there. Go back to chapter 7. Something happens. Look at verse number 5. Let's get right to what happened. In verse number that, Joshua 7, chapter verse 5, he said, the men of Ai killed about 36 of Israel men and chased them from the gate as far as the bluffs of Shibarim and struck them down as they descended the steep path. So the hearts of the people melted in despair and began to doubt God's promise. They begin to what? That's important, because when you're going through a situation that you don't understand, the first thing you do is doubt the promise of God. When sickness hit your body and you know you've been you've been doing what God said, at least to the best of your ability, to the best of your known knowledge, then you start to doubt God's promises. He began to doubt God's promise and began to doubt God's promises and became like water, disheartened. So let's talk about that verse of scripture. In chapter 6, we saw Joshua leading Israel against this town called Jericho. And when he led Israel across this town called Jericho, when they led Israel in battle against this town called Jericho, all Israel did was lift their voice up and shout it. They shouted and the walls came down. Why? Because the favor of God was with them. And the favor of God was with them because they were in alignment with God. Their lives were subjected and submitted to God. They were following the directions that God gave Joshua. And as long as they obeyed God, you do remember that in Joshua 1:8, as long as you obey me, I'll make you successful. Glory to God. I'll make your way successful. And so they were successful. And so after Jericho must have been one of the biggest places of influence at that time on their journey, and they took it down with nothing but a shout. Lord have mercy. When you walk right with God, you can take stuff down with nothing but a shout. I got to get to my message this morning. But anyway, so Jericho went down, and so they won big, things went well, but there was some instruction given about what they were supposed to do with the spoils, and they didn't do what they were supposed to do with spoil. Now, here's a clincher here. Not everybody sinned. Lord have mercy. Not everybody sinned. You ever heard, I don't know how it works now, but when I was a boy, you know, when I was a teenager, if I was in the car with Jane, because Jane would be the one smoking reefer, I was in the car with James, and Jane smoking reefer, and the police pull us over, he take us all to jail. He wouldn't leave me out, even though I didn't do anything. I was just in the wrong place at what? Wrong time with the wrong people. I think we should say that for the sake of the kids. Come and say, you can be in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. Okay, y'all didn't get, you had your chance, parents. You should have said. And so that's why you govern, parents. Come and say, that's why we govern who our children be with. Let me say that again, because y'all, come on, say, parents say, that's why we govern who they're with. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. So, Israel, not everybody sinned. Not everybody did the wrong thing. But that was one person that encouraged his family to do something God didn't say do. God said, all the silver and gold, he said, bring it here. We're going to put it in the treasure of the Lord. He said, everything else got to be burned. Everything else, we're going to have a mass bonfire, and nobody's going to keep anything. But the silver and gold, it comes into the treasure of the Lord. All the other stuff, we're going to put match to it, and we're going to burn it. And so there was a guy named Achan. Well, Achan figured, man, look at this, man. It don't make sense to throw this away. This got to be worth something. He said, I'm going to save it until we get where we're going. And he packed it in his stuff. He packed it in stuff, and he didn't realize that it doesn't. And they said, "Well, that gun doesn't matter what it was used for. What matters is there was an instruction from God that was not embraced, and that not embracing that instruction removed the favor of God. Because Ai was a small town. Oh, maybe get about 3,000 guys. We can go over there and wipe that thing out. I'm gonna tell you something. I know you're tired of being defeated by small things." Ooh, glory to God. When the favor of God lifts, you get defeated by small things. Everybody say, I'm tired of losing to small things. And so, what Joshua does is he calls this time of prayer, because now, remember when Israel went over to Jericho, they was all pumped up. Ai is small. Oh, man, after that, sure, we got this. No problem. But now these guys that went all dressed, ready to fight, should have wiped that town out, got beat by the little boys. They got beat by the little boys. That just reminds me, I got a little cousin. His name is Dino. And Dino's about 2 years younger than me. And I don't know, I think it was about eight, about six. I've been seven. He's about 5 years old. And we got in a fight. And Dino's a little fella. That boy beat me. Yeah. Ain't nothing like getting beat by a little fella. I remember that. That just came to my mind. So Ai got beat by a little fella. I mean, Israel got beat by a little fella. And now they're running. They didn't just lose. They lost big, man, because they're running. That 36 people got killed, but they wide open. They run. Have you ever been so scared you ran? You ain't got to tell anybody because people think you're bad. I know. But anyway, they ran that day. They ran, and listen, this is important, because the people thought that Israel was bad. The people said the hand of God was with Israel. In fact, when we heard you were coming, we locked up all our doors. We closed the city. We wouldn't let nobody go in. We let nobody go out, because the hand of God on your life is great. But then when they went to boy, but when that sin happened, everybody said, when that sin happened. Oh, we don't like to talk about sin, but when that sin happened, when the sin happened, they lost that battle. The favor of God had lifted from their lives. The hand of God had lifted from their lives. Now, God never leaves us nor forsake us, okay? He doesn't do that, but he will lift his hands. He lifted his hand. And when he lifted his hand, boy, that was Israel running everywhere. I mean, they went everywhere but loose. You couldn't find them with a flashlight at night. I'm telling you, they were getting out of Dodge. And look here. And they began to doubt God's promise. That's the problem. They begin to doubt. But see, that's what happens when we get between a rock and a hard place. We doubt God. We never do a 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine ourselves and see where we are in the faith. We never say, why, not God, why is this happening? You should say, now, Reggie, why is this happening? You need to check where you are. See where you are in faith. See where you are in the things of God. See if you're in right alignment. See if you're in right alignment with God. See if your focus is tied to God. Now, you need to watch for things of that nature. So here we are in verse number 7. Joshua goes and prays in chapter, yeah, Joshua goes to praise the God. 7-7, Joshua prays to God. He gets all the leaders of the camp together, and they pray, and now seeking the Lord about what's going on. Somewhere around verse number 10, right quick, I believe, verse number 10 or so. So the Lord said to Joshua, you need to get up. We're looking there and say, get up now. Why are you on your face? Why are you on your face? Look at verse number 11. Verse 11, he said, why are you on your face? Israel sinned. God said, why are you here crying to me about a problem when you won't fix your problem? When you won't recognize that you're out of alignment, you're not where you need to be or should be with God. Sometimes you got to see, I pray and I cry all night long. Lord, deliver me. Lord, help me. And the truth of the matter is, we got sin that's not been atoned for. Okay, I'm going to push this church here a minute. I want every born-again believer, look down and say, God, I repent. Yeah, it's tough. Because repent doesn't mean you can't just say it. You got to turn. You got to change. You can't repent and remain the way you are. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it on Sunday. But anyway, so that's where it was. He said, Israel has sinned. They got some stuff among them they shouldn't have. Is it possible? Listen, are y'all ready? Is it possible that you got some stuff among you shouldn't have? It just got quiet. Is it possible that you have some things in your camp that you should not have? Things that you understand. Are there some things in your life, some thoughts in your mind, some actions from your heart that should not be there? That God, yes, he forgives sin. And yes, God, grace abounds. But let me tell you something. God said your sin separates you from God. Somebody said, well, Pastor, that's Isaiah in the Old Testament. Well, let's go to 1 Peter 3 and 7. I'm going to show you that you can still be separated from God for your sins, even since Jesus Christ died and rose from the grave. Yeah, sin has to be atoned for and repented for. In 1 Peter 3 and 7, he said, in the same way, you husband, live with your wives in an understanding way, with great gentleness and tact, with an intelligent regard for the marriage relationship, as with someone physically weaker since she's a woman. Show her honor and respect as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your be what? Come on, say, I don't want to pray and not be heard. And we said, well, we ain't talking to married folk. Well, let's look at verse number 8 and see if he's talking to married folk. In verse number 8, he said, find all of you, everybody be like-minded. Get along with everybody. Treat everybody right. You be united in spirit when you're fighting and fussing and tearing and ripping at one another. Your prayers become hindered. You don't like me now. Your prayers become hindered. They begin hindered. And so you need to check and see where is the confusion, where is the shortage. Where's the disconnect? What's going on that the favor of God has lifted from our house or from our situation? So let's just go on back over there to Israel in Joshua 7 chapter. And so Joshua found the problem. He executed the problem. He killed the problem. And I don't want to talk about that as much as I want you to know. He had to find it, because you cannot get the favor until you get in alignment. So he found the problem, executed the problem, and got it straight. And then watch this. Let's go to Joshua 8:1, and I'll go to New Living Translation on this one. Joshua 8:1 says, then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid or discouraged. Take all your fighting men and attack Ai, for I have given you the king of Ai, his people, and all towns in his land. God said, I love this, because as long as Joshua and them was out of alignment with God, notice they had lost the battle, but God hadn't said anything. God didn't say anything till they said something. Oh, that just reminds me. My mama used to tell me heaven sometime won't move until earth move. That means earth need to say something to ignite something from heaven. Oh, that's good news. Yeah, yeah. Maybe you need, let's ignite heaven again. Let's say, God, I repent. Boy, that sounds good to me. Anyway, he said, so let's give an explanation for the content of recovering from loss. So the content for God returning favor to you. Here's what the verse said. This verse is the divine reset after devastating failure. In Joshua 7 chapter, Israel suffered a crushing defeat at Ai because of hidden sin in the camp. Achan's disobedience was a hidden sin. The defeat caused the great fear, shame, and discouragement. But once we address the issue of concern with God, being in line with God is, he said, but once that sin was addressed and removed, God re-engaged with Joshua and the people, giving them a second chance to take what was originally meant for them. Listen to me. That elbow shot. There are some plans and blessings that God had with your name on it. Yeah, yeah. You were created. Listen to me. You were created to fulfill a certain plan. You were created to experience a certain level of glory from God. You were created to experience a certain blessing from God. Listen to me. It's important that you understand that. You know, as I was saying, I look at Shaquana, and I think about where she is in her life right now. God put this in place for her. It didn't just happen. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Come on. These steps were ordered. God determines the end of the thing from the beginning. God had already determined what he wanted to do. He's already determined who's supposed to help you. He's already determined who your destiny help is, who are there to assist you, open doors for you, and help you bring those dreams that you have to fruition. I can tell you now that if you took time to interview some of the adults that's in this room, they would tell you they never thought they'd be where they are. They never thought they would have made the poor choices that they made as well. They would tell you somewhere they got off with God, but when they got back in line with God, things started unfolding for them. If you had a time right now that we can look and see where failure or wrong decisions is stopping you from reaching your goal, stop and repent for it and watch God move on your behalf. Stop and repent for it and watch God move on your head. For fear that my family members may be watching this broadcast, as many of them do, I will not testify or share with you what I was going to share with you about my family. I'm not going to do it because I know they're listening. But I'm saying, giving God that second chance, God becoming re-engaged with you, God engaging with you so you can reach the original intent that God has for your life. So when we look at Joshua 8:1, Joshua said, God speaks again, not in judgment, but in reassurance and renewed strategy. Come on, say, God speak again with renewed strategy. I need you to hear me. He did not speak to them with judgment. He spoke to them with renewed strategy. When he spoke with Joshua in chapter 7, he was not judging them. He needed to give them a strategy, and they needed to be in a place where they could hear it. They need to be in a place where they can comprehend it. God needs to give you a new strategy, and you need to be in a place where you can comprehend what he's saying. Revelation. Let me explain revelation to you another way. That means when you understand your why, ain't nothing impossible. God Almighty. You can create a tremendous amount of passion if you understand your why. Most of us don't finish what we start because we don't understand our why. If you don't understand your why, it's because you don't have revelation why you need to do it. Yeah. Can I tell you what I mean by that? A mother that cannot swim has a child that's hollering help in the water. She gives no consideration to herself, and she jumps in that water. She saved that child and herself. How'd you do it? You can't swim. I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about my why. Yeah, I was thinking about my why. You're motivated, you're strengthened, you're encouraged, you're innovative because of a why. A why is the revelation. Why I do what I do. Not that I do it. It's like the Bible said, be you steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the word of God. See, this is what we have. We have mastered starting. We haven't mastered abounding. We haven't mastered steadfastness. See, steadfastness said, you might can do something, but steadfastness says, you will continue to do it. That's a revelation. That's a revelation. It's not a seasonal thing. It is what you do, not sometimes, all the time. So God wanted to give them a strategy. His words carried a following encouragement for anyone recovering from personal, spiritual, or emotional loss. If you're having personal loss, if you're experiencing emotional loss, if you're experiencing failure, shortcoming, the loss of a business, maybe a cancellation of some of your Medicaid stuff, and if you didn't get it this week, keep watching the mail. Keep watching the mail. North Carolina is slated to get all kinds of information about their Medicare, Medicaid, all those good benefits. They've been cut and slashed to death. And you're supposed to get the news in the next coming weeks or so. And so that's going to be devastating for a lot of people. It's going to be very, very devastating, the things that they remove from you over the next months or so. Not coming down the road. They ain't been explained to us yet. But it's in the working. Now watch this. This is going to be important because let's go to the book of Joshua. First chapter now. I want to look at verse 1-2. It's important you know this. The Bible said this, after the death of Moses. Now, let's not call Moses was a person. Let's talk about death in general. Death is a cessation. After sin, after loss, after a death, after someone dies, God said, after that, God spoke. Come on, somebody. Oh my Yahshua. The revelation is, listen, no matter how bad you fall, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you lost, God still speaks. Lord have mercy. Come and say, God is still speaking to me. Lord, I wish I had a church this morning. Look at the book of, go to the book of St. John 16 chapter and verse number 12. Here's what God said. I got a whole lot of things I want to say to you, but you can't handle them now, but I'm still talking. Oh my God, listen, I know what you've been through. He said, I have many things I want to say to you, but you cannot hear them. Listen. God said, there's some things I've been holding back because you couldn't bear it. This is a good time to tell you. Ah, yeah. Come on, shout. Said, God's still speaking to me. Oh, y'all don't hear me. You'll hear me. Your back's against the wall. You've had this bad fall. You got this slander stuff on your name, and some of it might be true. But the Bible said God's still talking. He's still talking. As long as God's still talking, there's still hope. Hallelujah. As long as God's still talking, there's an opportunity for life. There's an opportunity for turnaround. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, this proves that failure doesn't end your story. Come on, say, my failure. My loss does not end my story. It doesn't end your story. Glory to God. In fact, his word carried a solid encouragement. He says to you, when repentance is sincere. Now, you're going to have to do some sincere repenting. You can't just play about it. Go to Psalms 139. Help me, Holy Ghost. Do I remember where it is? I don't know if I remember where it is or not. Go to Psalms 139. I don't know. Come on, say, Lord, help me find it. Heaven find it. Some of y'all women find it. Other y'all say, no, Lord, don't heaven find it. Anyway, 23. I think it's verse 23. Verse 23, somewhere around. Yeah. Search me, O God. See, you got to be sincere when we repent. Come and say, search me, O God. Yeah. And know my heart. Listen, not my deeds, not my sin, but my heart. Know my heart and see if there's some anxious thoughts in me. In verse number 24, he goes on to say, he said, point out anything that offends you. Oh, you better hear me. Don't worry about offending people. God said, point out anything that offends God. In fact, let me lead these sanctified folk into something. Come on, say, Lord, point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. This is important because what David is asking for is divine examination, self-examination. Sometimes we're not true to ourselves. Isn't that right? You know it's right. You know what you're doing is strange. You know it's unusual. You're not doing your thing. You're not even doing yourself. You need to ask God to help. God, you do the examination. Though David knew that nothing was hidden from God, he still invites God to reveal to him any hidden sin or self-deception, asking for clarity about himself, just as one might ask God, what do you see in me that I can't see? Lord, I tell you, I'm just going to get you to move your mouth. Come on, say, Lord, what do you see in me that I can't see? Lord, have mercy, Jesus. See, you ain't going to believe this, but I look in the mirror and I still see a 21-year-old guy. You know ain't that I'm blind. Sometimes I be, Mother Beverly, I be walking and I feel like I'm like 22 years old. Boy. And then I hit that step, so, oh, my God. I get this quick wake-up call. So I'm saying sometimes you don't see yourself right. In fact, you see yourself the way you want to see yourself. You need to ask God how he sees you. The Hebrew implication of test, the word translated as test in the scripture, is the Hebrew word nash, meaning to examine deeply, much like refining metal reproves impurities. David wanted God to purify his most inner thoughts. Can y'all go there? Come and say, God, purify my most inner thoughts. I don't know if you ever caught yourself, as I am having to do as I get older, rebuking myself for the thoughts that I have. I have to tell myself, that's the devil. Come on, everybody shake your head and say, that's the devil. Yeah, you need to be purified of your most inner thoughts. And then he says, spotting also painful and destructive ways. You got some painful and destructive ways in you. Painful and destructive ways inside of you. Some translations read, hurtful ways or offensive ways. Are you kidding me? Yes. Okay, let's go to Rumpel Room. Come on, say, I can sometimes have some very painful and disruptive ways in me. You can see it in others. You can't see it in yourself. David is an empty, simply asking to avoid wrongdoing. He wants to find any lingering bitterness, any lingering pride, any lingering habits that harm his relationship with God and others. He wanted God to point out to him. You know, can I say this? I wish our president would read this scripture. Let's go to guide us towards the eternal path. And then guide us toward, come on, say, guide me toward the eternal path. His final aim is such a deep introspection isn't shame, but transformation. His goal was transformation. People, listen to me. Our goal has got to be transformation. 2 Corinthians 3:18, God said, I want you to live in the image of my dear son. God wants everybody to be changed to Jesus. So the goal, his inner goal was life, was to be led out of shame into a life of transformation. Lead me in the way of everlasting, meaning the path of true life and godliness that endures forever. Now, why does this matter? Why does this matter, Pastor? Why does it matter? Because it takes courage to invite God into the unseen parts of your life. Why does this matter? It offers you spiritual growth by laying bare out your anxieties and blind spots before God. We open the door for healing, renewal, and transformation. It helps us align our heart with His true perspective. Favor cannot come if you're not in alignment. You can't even expect favor. You can't even expect favor if you're not in alignment. And thirdly, it inspires personal application. It inspires you, glory to God. Even today, this verse encourages the believer to pause, reflect, and invite God's light into the hidden corners of the heart. Come on, say, freeze, take a minute, think about it, and invite God's reflective light into the hidden corners of your heart. Whether through scriptures, prayer, or wise counsel, it's an invitation to grow. It's an invitation to grow and then grow and grow in the knowledge and the admiration of God. So, let me tell you something about why God still speaks to you, because I don't want you to get it off, right? See, He delights in every detail of your life. God loves every detail of life. Give me Psalms 37:23. This proves failure doesn't end your story. And come on, say, failure doesn't end my story. That sin didn't end my story. That circumstance didn't end my story. That setback didn't end my story. It doesn't end your story. Even when you feel like you're disqualified, God still speaks to you. When repentance is sincere, God restored the conversation and vision. Today, I'm believing God to restore conversation and vision with you about why you're still here. So God says you need to understand this. According to Psalms 37:23, He delights in every detail of your life. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of your life. Tell somebody, He delights in every detail of my life. Yeah, and I want you to understand what that means. That means that God takes pleasure in you, not just in the big spiritual moments, but in the small everyday details. Now, hear what I'm saying. He does not delight in sin. No, He does not. He delights in those small details that you think of nothing, when you're conscientious of where you come short of the glory of God, when you're conscientious, when you know you need more Jesus and you need Him now. The insight is this. Delight suggests emotional joy. God's involvement isn't about obligation. He enjoys seeing you live, grow, or even overcome challenges. Did you hear me? God enjoys seeing you beating back those things that destroyed your family. God enjoys seeing you having dreams for your children, believing God for the best of life, and then those demonic spirits and those things that you battled all your life, He enjoys hearing you say, by His stripes I'm healed. Yeah, He enjoys that, man. These challenges, because God understands that this breaks the false idea that God only cares about church activities, more choices. He cares about your work. He cares about your family. He cares about your rest. He cares about your struggle. Every part of you, God cares. I want you to say, God cares about every bit of me. Oh, yeah. To my kids going to college, God cares that you're going, and He cares that you have a good experience, and He cares that you're safe, and He cares that people help you, and He cares that doors open for you. Oh, yeah, He cares. And for those of you that are experiencing some of the challenges, not only that we're experiencing now, because according to what they're predicting and the plan of the account administration, things won't get better for them, and especially not for us. But God said, I care. Lord have mercy. I tell you what, I just want you to practice that the Lord cares for me. Oh, that's kind of weak. Say it like me. God cares for me. You got a bad diagnosis from your doctor, and the first thing the enemy do is start talking you down that slow, sloppy road of defeat, and you got to tell the devil, no, God cares for me. God, and he going to heal me too. God going to turn this around for me. I was talking to a lady yesterday. I was at this event, and I didn't see her husband. I said, where's your husband? She said, pray for him, honey. He just got to the hospital. He had a successful total rebuild of his prostate. And that was interesting, a total rebuild of the prostate. She said, and it went very well, and it went very well. And so, I mean, that's good news, you know, and I that's interesting. So God cares about your body. He cares about your body. I was there. You remember Janice Mack? Well, y'all remember Janice McClurkin, Brother McClurkin's wife, who died about 5 years ago. So she died of pancreatic cancer, and her mother was still living when she buried her mother. The mother buried her daughter. That's a very devastating situation. She has another daughter, and now that daughter has pancreatic cancer. Well, during the funeral when I was ministering, I told her, say, hey, look, God told me to tell you, you won't bury another one of your children. And this woman got sick unto death about a year ago, and the mother was still living. And the niece called me, said, Pastor White, now, hold up now. My mother's not, my aunt is not doing well at all. They're not expecting this, not expecting that. She has pancreatic cancer, blase, 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 and all the things going on. And she said, and I remember your word. I said, we're touching the grill on that word right now and believe God to do what it said. You know what happened? It reversed. I saw her aunt at the thing with a little cane looking good as new money, just good as new money. I said, ain't that your aunt right there? She said, yeah, God kept his word. Look, come on, say, God cares about me, and he going to keep his word. In the meantime, mama went on to glory, but mama was 90-something years old. She went on to glory. She went on to glory, and she did not bury another one of her children. And that daughter looked like she ready to live another 30, 40 years. So I'm saying this because God cares about you, and I want you to know that. I want you to break that idea. The only thing God cares about is when you shout. The only thing God cares about when your hands lift up. No, God cares about how you walk your everyday life. God cares about how you're going to feed your children next week. God cares about how much money you're going to get as income to take care of those children. Shout, God cares about me. It's important, important. And then God says something in verse number 24. He said, if they stumble, though they stumble, though they stumble, though they stumble, though they stumble, they would never fall. See, the godly will face missteps, weaknesses, and even sin. Where my people at? You will face missteps, you will face weaknesses, and you will face sin. This is what the scripture said. But these moments will not destroy them. Come and say, it won't kill me. Come on, this is not the end of my life. Let me tell you what the devil tell you. He sinned. The devil tell you sinned and you're going to hell. He won't tell you God forever lived just to pray for you. He won't tell you God make an intercession for you right now. Glory to God. See, these moments won't destroy them. Stumble implies imperfection and is expected. It implies imperfection and is expected. There will be imperfected moments of imperfection, but you will never fall. It means you will not be abandoned or left the room. Come on, say, God promise never to leave me. No, I'm trying to help you understand when God speaks. Come and say, God promises never to leave me nor to forsake me. I don't care what's going on in your life. Say, God is here. God is here. Come on, everybody practice. Get that little pointing finger out and start saying, God here. God is here. God is here right now. God is here. God is here. He will not leave you. You can walk in confidence, not just because you never fail, not just but because failure can never be final. You will fail, but it ain't final. Come on, say, failure is not final for me. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Let me get back to my lesson. I keep wandering away. I like good Bible. So now listen. So the Lord holds your hand, meaning God supports personal and constant. Even in times of uncertainty, even when Israel was in the battle, even when they sinned and it looked like Ai was winning and they was not going to recover, God was still holding their hand. Come on. At the graveyard, God holds your hand. At the doctor's office, God holds your hand. I'm trying to set you up for favor, man. Come on, say, God is still holding my hand. As my grandma used to say, children, don't worry about it. God will make a way. Hallelujah. Come on, look around and say, God going to make a way. I wish I had a group of believing believers that God will make a way. My grandma said, God will make a way. He may not come what you want him, but always going to be on time. She was always looking for God to get that bread on that table. Always looking for God to make sure we had a shoe to put on our foot when we went to school. Always looking for God to make sure we were safe by night. Lord have mercy. Did anybody have a praying grandmama? Anybody have a praying grandmother? In short, concluding that statement about God still speaking, God personally orders the lives of the righteous. He finds joy in every part of their existence, and he ensures that even when they falter, his sustaining presence keeps them from falling into destruction. Thank you, Lord. This is not a promise of a problem-free life, but a guarantee that God has secured your journey. Hallelujah. That means I will fall, but I won't fall out of his hands. Come on. I have come short, but I won't miss God. He promises, come on, never to leave me. Didn't you hear, didn't you? Come on, say, he promised never to leave me. I need about 15 believers to shout, God promised never to leave me. Come on, I know you're back up against the wall, but he promised never to leave me. I know people think you out, but God promised never to leave me. I know they think you're not going to recover, but God promised. Oh, glory to God. Number two, I'm helping you with your attitude for the return of his favor. And your attitude said, God is still speaking to me. And when you said that God's still speaking to me. Now, there's some folk that don't like you, so they're not talking. But God's still speaking. There's some folk talking about you, but God's still speaking to you. Glory to God. Number two, do not be afraid or discouraged. You have to make the decision, I'm not going to be afraid, nor am I going to be discouraged. See, fear and discouragement are normal after loss. It is certain that you be scared after loss. We can go back to Joshua, the first chapter again, and I see why God came to Joshua and said to him, Joshua 1:1, he said to Joshua 1:1, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' sister, and he said, ask anybody in here who had a parent die when they were just little people. That is a scary, fearful situation. Scary. What's going to happen to me? Where am I going to go? What's going to take? Moses was bigger than life to them. What was going to happen if Moses dead? Moses gone. So God just clears up. Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to leave. Wait a minute. Did anybody hear that? If somebody else is gone, it must be your time. All right, it'll catch you by noonday. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. In verse 3, God said in verse 3, he said, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot will be on land I have given you. My grandmother was such an undeniable force in our lives that when my grandmother died, it was scary. I still had a mother, I still had a father, but grandmama was the strength. Grandmother was the, come here, baby. Grandma was the, come on, get something to eat. Come to grandma's house, I'm cooking right now. What do you need, baby? Grandma got it. That's who she was in our lives. And when grandmother died, and I was just the lad of a boy, I mean, I'm serious. I couldn't have been more than 8 years of age, so my dad wasn't even living with us then. But grandmother was that grace. And we didn't live with grandmother. She just lived in the neighborhood. We'd go to grandmother's house for everything. And I'm telling you, when she died, it was a scary, scary time. Scary as in. But God said, I promised you what I promised grandmama. If it wasn't grandmother and it was your father that was that born again person that made those, I promise you what I promised him. If it was your mother, I promise you what I promised him. It was a community leader, a somebody of great importance at the time. Do you all recall? I don't even know if it was 1968, Martin Luther King, 1968, is that right? 1968. You remember 1968 when Martin Luther King died. I remember the sadness going over the radio. I remember the tears that was in my house. They were fearful. They were scared. They were saddened because a great leader had been murdered. Had been murdered, shot in cold blood, and they were sad. They were depressed by the thing. It was like the nation went in gloom. Yeah. But God said, listen, promotion don't come from the left nor the right. Promotion comes from the Lord. He take down one and he raise up another. Glory to God. Come on, throw your hands and say, Lord, in this season, if you need somebody, here am I, send me. Listen, I like this because Joshua did not initiate this conversation. So you know what that means? If Joshua didn't initiate this conversation and God initiated this conversation, the fact that you're about to return the favor ain't got nothing to do with you. God is initiating favor back to your life. He's initiating a conversation of favor over your life. Would you tell him thank you? Yeah. Don't be afraid. See. Go to verse number 5, because it said Joshua in verse number 5, he said, here's the deal. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I want you to say, no one will be able to stand against me as long as I live. Can't stop my visions. Can't stop my dreams. There was a man I knew in Sanford, North Carolina. He was quite an accomplished fella. And he looked at me and said, Reggie White, don't you ever let no man grab you by your hands and handcuff your dreams. Hi-ya! Hi-ya! Come on, say, I can do it. Listen to me. God wants you to take your little fingers and make your print in the world. God wants you to take your little foot and make the print in the world. I got any dreamers and entrepreneurs out there, anybody believing beyond where they are? God wants you to make your prayer. Don't let nobody handcuff your dreams. Yeah, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you. Who's God with? God said, I'll be with who? You. As I was with Moses, and I will not fail you. Come on, what's God's promise, y'all? Come on, I need some folk ain't done nothing. Said, God won't fail me. And he won't abandon me. In verse number 6, he says one thing. Here's what it says. He said, be strong and be courageous. Be what? And the Bible said, do not be afraid or discouraged, but be strong and very courageous, for you are the one. Lord have mercy. Be strong and very courageous, because you are the one. You are the one. You are the one. Come on, say, I'm the one. Ooh, boy, I need some fighters in the room. I don't need no fighters. I need some fighters. Yeah, you are the one. You are the one. You are the one who will lead this people to possess. You are the one who will lead your family to things they never experienced before. You are the one that will break this curse in your family. You're the one. You're the one that says cancer stops here. Mama ya shondarabasa. Come on, say, no cancer. But go beyond this body. My children need not fear. Hey, because the hand of God is on my body. Oh, I ain't got no fighters in the room, but I'm telling you, I need some faith fighters. Any faith fighters in here? Lord, have mercy, Jesus. My God, it stops right here. I am strong and I'm very courageous, and I am the one. I am the one. Listen, there's some things hidden in your life because God going to use you as that stopping point. My God, you know what? I went through a period of alcoholism, a period of drug addiction, and none of my children have seen it because it stopped with me. Glory to God. Oh, y'all know him. That's some things that, come on, they're going to stop right here. Jesus Christ, boy. Woo, Lord, put some fight in the north. No. Put some fight in the north. Come on, say, I got to do this for my children. Can I say this? Y'all gonna be all right? Maybe nobody else in your family has ever lived a life of celibacy where you value your body and you value what God has given you. Maybe nobody else ever did it. But come on, say it stops right here. Today I decree I'm God's version. You see how weak that was? My God. Come on, say I decree I'm God's version. This ain't for me, it's for my children. It's for the generation coming behind me. For the generation that's watching me. They can't live like I've lived. They can't okay, I'll let y'all alone because, y'all, it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to do that. And God said, drop down to verse number 8 right now. God says this to you, if you can grab some courage. He says, study the book of instruction, continue, meditate on it day and night, and you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. He said, I'll make you prosper and succeed in everything you do. Every law you set, every discipline you set for your home, every discipline you set for your children, he said, I'll make sure it comes to pass. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. So don't be afraid. God told you only be courageous. In fact, what God does, and I like this, is that they became spiritual strongholds. If you're not careful, discouragement and fear can become a spiritual stronghold if not confronted. God commands courage, not because the battle will be easy, but because he's now leading. He's leading. And when he leads, as I'm leading you, Joshua, I'm going to take you there, but you're going to need courage. I'm taking you. Listen. I'm taking you where you've never been before. I'm taking your family where it's never been before. I'm taking your family where it has never been before. Never been before. Never been before. There are some never befores that God is trying to bring to fruition in your life. And these are good never befores. These are foundational never befores. I mean, your family experiencing what you saw on the Cosby Show. The Husker Balls. Yeah, your family experiencing that kind of life with the things of God. Your family experiencing the God kind of life. Come on, say, yes, we can. I'm concerned. The phrase, God's way of preparing his people for action is Joshua 1:9. Look at Joshua 1:9. Joshua 1:9, God says this to Joshua because I believe that the whole time that God was talking to Joshua, Joshua was not actually responding. He was not responding. So God said, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Come on, say, Lord's with me wherever I go. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Be scared for the Lord's will. This, to me, was God's way of saying, Joshua, I see your thoughts afar off. I sense what you sense right now. You don't know I can see your emotions. You don't know I can hear your thoughts. I do. And I'm telling you, stop being afraid. But don't be afraid. I'm telling you to be courageous. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Come and say, God is with me wherever I go. Joshua responds to this, man. He responds to it. So this is it, Joshua 1:9. Before crossing into the promised land, before you cross back into this time of favor, before you experience this time of favor, you got to be strong. You got to be courageous. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In 2 Corinthians 20:15-17, I'm just going to go over it right quickly. Jehoshaphat is surrounded by a whole host of enemies. I mean, he got 4 to 5 of kingdoms, not armies, not just groups. He got 4 or 5 different kingdoms surrounding him at one time. They came to attack Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat heard from the Lord. In verse number 15, allies are in, is that 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 15. He said, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. The battle is not yours. The battle is not yours. You ought to be shouting now, this ain't my battle. This is not my battle. Come on, Zion. This is not my battle. It belongs to God. God is leading you. God, you're following God's instruction. You're following God's direction. When God speaks, he's going to assure you like he assured Joshua, I got this and I've given you this victory. Favor has come to you again. Glory to God. See, they're facing massive army. Do not be afraid or discouraged. The battle is not yours, but God. Joshua 8:1, after Israel defeated Ai, do not be afraid or discouraged. Take all your fighting men and attack Ai. I have given them. Now watch this. Let's talk about that. I want you to know something about in each of these commandments, Joshua 1:9, 2 Chronicles 20:15, Joshua 8:1. In each of these commandments, watch this. The commandments come just before a major breakthrough, but after a bad challenge. After a bad challenge, here comes this great command. Oh my God, I believe right now, as a people that's under the sound of my voice, that you're getting ready to experience a massive breakthrough. You're about to experience a massive breakthrough. I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you, you may experience something about the doctor seeing something one time and go back the next time and say, is this the same patient? Glory to God. Something has happened. I need somebody with faith. Give God praise that God can do it right now. I'm telling you, your sickness just turned to a testimony. Your oppression just turned to a victory. Your darkness just turned to light. Oh, my See, listen, God just told me the devil thought he caused you a setback, but all he did was set himself up because God's getting ready to intervene on your behalf. I need about 15 people that believe God will intervene on your behalf right now. Show some courage in your praise. Show some courage in your cheering for your team. You down right now, but God's about to turn that thing around. Show some courage and give God some praise. Let me finish this, and I'm going to close this out. I'm going to finish this. I told you, I was telling you how to prepare for the return of favor. First thing I told you, of course, was to understand that God is still speaking even after your failure. The second thing I told you was just now, do not be afraid or discouraged. Third, now I'm telling you, take all your fighting men. And this is all in verse number 8 and 1. He said, take all your fighting men. What do you mean by fighting men? I want to give you a revelation, an insight that God gave me about fighting men, okay? So in chapter 7, they sent only a few men to Ai. They sent about 3,000 men to Ai. Had they been in alignment with God, 3,000 men would have done it, but they were out of alignment with God, so they were not able to do it. And so this time, God is telling them, bring all your men. I've given you a city, but bring all of your men. Bring all of your men. Come and say, all your men. Yeah, yeah. This time, God says, take everyone. Recovery requires, listen, God said recovery is going to require full engagement, total effect, and a unified strength. So God said, I need all of you. I need your mind. I need your body. I need your spirit. I need all of you. Come on, throw your hands up. God, you have all of me. Oh, my God. You need all yourself. So I'm throwing everything in the body, everything. Look at Ephesians 6 and 18. I'm going to cut it short. We're going to be praying, right? Come on, say, I'm praying. I'm going to use all kinds of prayers. The Bible said in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse number 18, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse number 18, E-P-H-E-S-I-N, praying always with all prayers. Come and say, pray with all prayers. If I'm praying with all prayers, there must be more than one prayer. If you pray with all prayers, there must be more than just one kind of prayer. There must be more than one kind of prayer. Well, what kind of prayers are there, White? Well, there are different types of prayers. It includes adoration. Come to God with your adoration. Come to God with your confession. Come to God with your thanksgiving. Come to God with your petition. Come to God with your supplication. Come to God with your intercession. And come with your praise. Here's where you go back. You got your hands lifted up. You got your mouth filled with praise. You got your heart filled with thanksgiving. You're just blessing God. You're not even paying attention to what you lost. You're not paying attention to your setback. You're not paying attention to your pain. Say, this time I'm just lifting up my hands, and I'm blessing God because I'm still here. I'm blessing God because he watches over Israel. He don't slumber nor sleep. I'm blessing God because he's still able to do it. I'm like the three human boys. Even if God don't deliver me, it ain't because he's able. I'm going to praise him because he's able. Would you give God a he's able praise? Oh, glory to God. Somebody shout glory to God. Somebody love him and shout glory to God. I feel my ancestors after that. Come on, say, I serve a good God. I serve a mighty, mighty good God. In fact, I'm going to praise him because even though I lost, I survived. And if I survive, I got another opportunity to give him the glory. Somebody say, help me. Brother, won't you help me? Lift him up. Somebody help me. Extol the Lord. Somebody help me. Bless his name. Yeah, Lord. Oh, glory to God. In this last one, I'm going on now because I'm trying to help you get a mindset that God's getting ready to turn favor back over to you again. In number 4, I told you to take all of yourself. In number 4, come on, say, I decree that God gonna turn my past defeats into future victory. Come on, say, everything that defeated me years ago, is on schedule to become a future victory for me. Somebody say yes, Lord. The Bible said, the Bible said in Joshua 8:1, I have given you the king of Ai. Come on, say, I've given you King Ai. In all his lands and all his towns. The Bible said the very place of a previous failure is going to become the grounds of triumph. Will you tell somebody, I'm on my way back to a place I've been before. I'm not sure if I want to go, but I'm going back because God said he got some unfinished business over there. Come on, say, we got some unfinished business to take care of. Tell your enemy, say, I'm coming back. But I'm coming back stronger. I'm coming back more anointed. I'm coming back more confident. And this time, come on, say, this time, I'm going to win. It's John, the 11th chapter. The Bible said in John, the 11th chapter, that Jesus spoke this to his disciple in verse number 4. That's John 11, verse number 4. When Jesus heard this, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. I need you to look at your past defeat. I need you to look at your past losses. I need you to look at your past circumstances. I need you to look at your past sins. I need you to look at your past strength hold. And God said that wasn't unto death. But I'm getting to work my glory in it. Come and say, we're going back. We got some unfinished business. God anointed me to go back to get his favor and watch God change things. Yes, sir. I'm getting too happy. I'm getting too happy. I need to slow it down a little bit. Somebody say, yes, Lord. Come on, say, yes, Lord. Say, yes, Lord. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, yes, Lord. Give God the yes of your soul. Give me a New Living Translation. In New Living Translation, the Bible said in verse number 5, John 11, in verse number 5 in the New Living Translation, now Jesus loved Martha. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, verse number 6 said he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. In verse number 7, the Bible said finally he said to his disciple, let's go back to Judea. Come on, say, let's go back. Nobody like, I don't want to go back to where I lost. I don't want to go back to where I was defeated. He said, let's go back. Now, that's not an unhuman experience that you're having. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 said, the disciples said, but the disciples objected, said, Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago, them people in Judea were stoning us. They almost killed us over there. And you want to go back again? You want to go back? You want to go back to that place of defeat? You want to go back to where you lost? I'm telling you, the Bible said the children of Israel had lost their heart. Their heart had melted. They were doubting God. They didn't want to see that situation no more. You don't want to see that situation no more. But the reason why you lost, because you didn't have the favor of God. Because at this time, I'm going with the favor of God on my life. Come on, say, this time, I got anointing to be there. I got a yoke destroying. Burden removing, devil casting out, hands laying on the sickness, power of God on my life. You believe that? Shout glory to God. God said this. I want you to hear this clearly. God said the very place of previous failure, we become the ground of triumph. God will redeem what looked like loss and use it to display his power because you obey. Come on, say, I'm in alignment with God. I come to cast the devil out. I came to lay hands on the sick. Y'all ain't hear me. I came to tell the doctor, I ain't dying today. You try, but I'm going to live. I came to tell depression, you took me to a bad spot there, but I came to claim this spot. The favor of God is on my life. Oh, glory to God. Here's what God said. God said, I'm going to take what looked like total loss and use it to set you up for future victory. Everything that looked like a total loss in your life, relationships, mental wellness, spiritual well-being, finances, relationship. God said, I'm getting ready to give you, setting you up for a future victory. Tell your neighbor, say, get ready. The favor is coming. Oh, you sat next to the wrong person. Find somebody looking for the favor of God. Say, get ready. God's favor is about to come. When you look at Psalm, when you look at Joshua, the 8th chapter, verse number 1, this verse marks a turning point. Come on, somebody, at a turning point. Divine favor is returning to my life. Come on, say, after my shame, after my defeat, after my sickness, after my setback, after my sin. I need some folk had everybody talking about your sin. Everybody talking about what you, where the people had, everybody, that wasn't nobody doing nothing wrong but you. Only thing they can remember is what you did. But God said, that's about to end right now. Because God has chosen to re-engage with you. Glory to God. Come on, say, I feel the power of the Holy Spirit. I feel like God is on my side. I feel like things are turning. Oh, glory to God. Listen, God told me to tell you something, that your laws didn't cancel your destiny, and it delayed it until your obedience returned. And now you're in alignment with God. He said, your obedience has returned, your favor has returned. Come on, say, I got the favor of God on my life. That's all right. I'm across the river in a minute. Come on, say, I got the favor of God on my life. I got it dripping down me. Hallelujah. Favor going in, favor coming out. Everywhere I go, I'm experiencing the favor of God. Look at Psalm 30. Psalm 30 and verse number 8. Get Psalm 30 and verse number 8. I got to close now. I got to close. Psalm 30, verse number 8. He said, I cried unto the Lord. I beg for the mercy of God. Come on, say, I beg for the mercy of God. I need about 10 y'all shall have mercy, Lord. Come on, say, have mercy, Lord. Back at the verse number 5. Verse number 5. God said in verse number 5, for his anger lasts but a moment. I need you to know that time God was mad at you about you cutting up, he said, that moment has passed. But my favor's here. My favor's here. My lifetime guarantee of favor. If you receive the favor of God, understand it ain't over. It's not season. It's a lifetime. Your weeping endure for a night, but your joy is coming. Come on, say, it's morning time in my life. It's breakthrough time in my life. Lord, it's increase time in my life. It's mercy time in my life. Somebody shout glory to God. Oh, Lord. Somebody say, yes, Lord. Yeah. Let me tell you this. Listen, just as God didn't abandon Israel, he did not abandon Joshua. He did not abandon Israel after their failure. God will not abandon you. He will not walk away from you even today. When you genuinely repent and align yourselves again with God's word, you will experience this. God said his favor has come, and I need you to shout with me, God's favor is in my life. And because God's favor is in my life, doors are reopening once again. Doors that were shut are open. The last time you knocked on that door, it was shut and would not open. God said, go visit that door again. That door is open in your life. The last time you went for that loan, you could not get it. They denied you. God said, my favor's back and doors are opening. God said, opportunities are reappearing that was lost. There's some opportunities that you thought were yours in a season, and the devil defeated you at that opportunity. God said, go visit that place again. My favor is over your life. They're not just willing to say yes. They got the paper signed for you. They shuffling papers for you right now, getting it set just for you. Come on, say, God's favor is opening doors for me. God's favor is giving opportunities to me. God's favor is restoring what was meant for me. I need somebody to know it was meant for you. Somehow I got away, but it was meant for you. So I know that was my opportunity. Come and say, I know I'm supposed to have it. I know it should be mine. I need some folk with some bad doctor prognosis. Say, I know I'm supposed to be healed. I know this sickness came. I know it came. I need some people that wrestle with mental stresses. I know I'm supposed to have peace. I know it. I need some people wrestling with their God-given vision, their God-given destiny. They know what God told them to do, and the enemy keeps blocking doors. Say, I know it's meant for me. I know it. I said, just like in Joshua, the 8th chapter, Israel lost in the 7th chapter. But God said, I'm about to give you the victory you should have got a year ago. Glory to God. I'm about to give you the victory you should have got 2 years ago. I'm about to give you the victory you should have got 10 years ago. Watch this, watch this. You think your anointing was down? No, said God, I'm going to give you double the anointing when you get there. You ain't going to have the same level of favor. You have double favor in your life. Will you shout double favor? I need a believing believer shall double favor all of our life. He told me to tell you, during the time that you lost, during the time that the door did not open, during the time that opportunity seemed unavailable, God said he didn't change the promise. Hallelujah. It looked like the devil won, but I didn't change my promise for you. Oh, my God, you need to decree this right now. So I decree and declare that every promise of God for my life is still yes. Come on, every promise of God for my life is still yes. Every promise of God for my life is still yes. Somebody shout yes. He didn't change the promise. God said, I was waiting on you to posture yourself for it. You just got in the right posture. Humble thyself, and the Lord will draw nigh to you. Humble thyself. His presence will cheer thee. Somebody somewhere say, yeah. Say, yes. Yes. Lord, somebody say yes, Lord. God told me to tell somebody. I believe he's talking to me this morning. He said, I decree that the favor of the Lord has returned. Come on, say, God's favor has returned to me. Victory is reissued to my life. Victory is issued to my life. Breakthrough is issued to my life. Healing is issued to my life. Deliverance is issued to my life. Somebody scream in here. Come on, say, I decree that I'm stepping into my Joshua 8 season, a time of restored favor, a time of renewed instructions, and a time of reclaimed victory. And the reason why I'm telling you this, because you remember I told you that when the Israel ran, well, God got some new instructions. I love it. I love it. God is smart, boy. He said, Joshua, take your boys down there. Put some in the front of Ai and put some behind Ai, and said, tell them that's in front that as soon as Ai come out, run like they scared. And so they ran like they scared. And as they ran like they're scared, the boys from behind came in and wiped Ai out from behind. And the boys in the front turned around and finished the job. Come on, say, I may look like I'm scared, but I want you to know today, I'm confident that the Lord, he's on my side. The Lord, he gonna break through for me. The Lord, he gonna heal this body. The Lord, he gonna fight this battle for me. Somebody say, yes, Lord. God is giving me the victory. God is giving me the territory. God is helping me get through. Somebody scream. Everybody lift your hand and shout, God, I repent. I want everybody to say, God, I repent. Say it again, God, I repent. God said, what was once withheld due to disobedience is now been released because of your repentance. I shout, God, I repent. Oh, my God. Is it possible that lack of repentance is holding your healing back? Is it possible that lack of repentance is holding your breakthrough back? Is it possible that lack of repentance is opening open door? Shout, I repent. Come on, say, I repent. David said, come on, say, I repent. No, don't help me. Let me help you. Come on, say, I repent. Say, I repent. David's like, we would like dim their dream when God turned our captivity over. Come on, say, God, turn my captivity over. Come on, say, God, turn my captivity over. He's turning my. Was held in disobedience is being released because of your repentance. Throw your hands and I repent. I repent for my children. I repent for my son. I repent for my daughter. I repent. along with me and say, I decree I will recover all. My victory is reissued. My destiny resumes in the name of Jesus. In the 8th chapter, Israel resumed their assignment. And their enemies were defeated. And they went on to defeat more and more enemies because of their alignment with God. And I believe today in this room, hallelujah, oh Shabahasa, Shoko Shandasa, Shahosa. Woo! I believe that refavor has turned to my life. I believe it. I'm a strong man for my age, but I'm not the strong man I used to be. And the Lord said to me that his favor will bring burden bearers. Hallelujah. God said his favor will bring burden bearers. Woo. God said he's going to come down and talk to the people that I choose. And he's going to take the same spirit that he put on my life and put it on their life so they can help bear the burden with me. God told me to tell the mama, you're not going to do this by yourself. God got a burden bearer coming. He's talking to a father, you won't suffer this by yourself. There's a burden bearer coming. My favor has brought you supernatural aid. God's favor brings supernatural aid to you right now. God's favor is bringing supernatural assistance to you right now. Right now, right now. Burden bearers are coming. They're coming now. There was a kingdom in a fight, and they were related to Joshua. And they sent for Joshua to come help. Joshua said, we're on our way. And when they came, Joshua and his men defeated the enemy for you. God said, there's some things that you could not defeat, but I got a burden bearer coming to help you. Oh, lift your hands right now. There's some doors that you didn't have the courage to walk to, but God said, I got a burden bearer coming to get you through those doors in the name of Jesus. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. My God, lift your hands to the Lord, daughter. God told me to tell you today, he said, right now, I'm creating divine connections because I see your desire to one. I see your desire for me, your desire for me, your desire for me is greater than what you did, is greater than what you are personally. So I'm working on divine connection. I know who you need to know to express what you feel from God, to fulfill the most shy. My call is not a burden. It is shikosha. It comes with directions of clarity. And God, I'm going to give you a clarity as you are setting out clearly who you are for God. You made in your heart, I belong to God. I am God's servant. In fact, that's the only thing you want to do is serve the Lord. That's all you want to do. You could really identify with me when I said I want to be great for the glory of God, because that's what's in your heart. And God said, I'm creating divine connections for you. I'm creating divine connections. They're divine connection. You might meet them in the grocery store. You might meet them on your job, and they've been there all the time, and you did not recognize them. But God said, I'm creating divine connections for you in the name of Jesus. That's people who know who you need to know so you can do for me what you want to do in Jesus' name. Somebody scream in the house. Glory to God. God is calling for supernatural advancement for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of his name. For the kingdom and for the sake of his name. For the kingdom and the sake of his name. For the sake of his name. That is an urgent. There's a famine in the land. It has nothing to do with the prices in the grocery store. It has nothing to do with what's available, what's not available. There's a famine of the hearing of the revelations of God's word. There's a famine of the hearing and revelation of God's word. Glory to God. And God said, I want to advance you in your destiny. I want to move you in your destiny so you can become a herald of the revelations of God. So you can become an emblem of what it means to trust God. You become an example to the world of what it means to trust and depend on God. Stand on your feet right quickly. Glory to God. Stand on your feet right quickly. Thank you so much, audio. Thank you so much, video. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shema Mosha, Shana Mashani. Here's where you understand that God's favor is returning to your life. It's returning to your life because God never left you. He never left you. Your prayers were just hindered. He never left you. And I need to say that so the devil knew it and never shared it with you again. Come and say, God never left me. Say it again. He never left me. My prayers were hindered. My prayers were hindered. Something got between me and God and hindered my prayers. But today, and I need to do this just like this. I don't need to dress this up. There are some people that need to genuinely repent. You don't need to repent to me. You just need to repent to God. You need to repent to God. Your finances will change when you repent. Your circumstances will change when you repent. I'm telling you, your body will be healed. Do you know that some sicknesses are not even physical? They are spiritually enticed there by the devil. The devil himself can get a grip on a part of your body. And it can mimic the symptoms of certain things. Glory to God. But God said, your repentance, I'm telling you, I cast the devil out on your repentance. Do you remember when Paul was on streetcar straight, that Ananias never cast the devil out of him? He laid his hands on him. And a favor of God went on his life. Favor of God went on his life. And that's what's about to happen now. You're about to transition from one situation in darkness that you're not even cognizant of. All you know, you got all these closed doors. All you know is things are not moving like they're supposed to. All you know is by reason of time, your prayers and your faith, like Joshua, is that we should have won. Anybody feel like you should have won? Anybody feel like this should be behind you right now, that you shouldn't even be dealing with this? Anybody like that? You need to repent. You need to work on alignment. Daniel, as far as we know biblically, never committed a sin, as far as we know biblically. But he went to God and said, God, we repent. I repent on behalf of me. I repent on behalf of the whole nation of Israel. He repented. Maybe you need to repent on behalf of your father. Yeah. Shondo. Maybe you repent on behalf of generations that are before you that miss God. Tied up with the wrong spirit, and they got tied with that wrong spirit, and that wrong spirit thinks it has access to you. It thinks it has a right to come into your life. It thinks, come on, mama, shanda da basa. Come on, Loretta, say, I rebuke premature death in the name of Jesus over all my children. Come on, say, I passed that thing, and it didn't happen to me, and it will not happen to my children, nor my children's children. Satan, you don't have a right. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room today. There may be something that you need to repent from God. God's favor is here. The moment Joshua led repentance and did the thing necessary where repentance was necessary to get rid of that thing, all of a sudden God said, I have given you. Oh my God. And this is what God said. I'm giving you grounds in a past failure. Grounds in a past loss. Whew. I'm giving you some grounds you lost. You know that young person, when you were young, that dream you had about who you were going to be, what you were going to do, what your goals were, and they've been stifled by poor choices, poor decisions. God said, I want you to regain access to that opportunity again. Please hear me. I'm in my heart. This was not the way this message was going to go, but I heard God say he needs pure repentance in this place. Your daddy's curse is going to be broken. Your mama's curse is going to be broken. Generational sickness is going to be destroyed. I'm calling for those who in their heart know that things are not going right. Things are too slow. I should be far beyond this. I should have won that. I should have gained that. I should not be. Listen, who's living with abuse in their mind? And that abuse in your mind is framing who you're becoming today. Hey! Shinemosha! God said, I will crush that illness. I'll crush that abuse. I'll make it as if it never happened in your life. I had a plan for you. I've got desire for you. I've got thoughts. You were born with a plan. God had a purpose for your life, and you can't live your purpose because you've been driven by your pain. The hand of Jesus is in this room today. The Spirit of God is here, and he's present to heal. If you heard me talking to you, just lift your hand right where you are right now. Why does stuff make me cry? Oh, Father, you see these hands stretched towards you. I don't know anything about anybody's past. I don't know anything about anybody's present. I don't know what has happened. I just know, God, you're initiating and engaging your favor toward them. There's some things that you want to do, some places they ought to be, some things they ought to have, some victory they should have won. And then, God, some of them are so deeply stained in their heart. They don't know whether to love mama or hate mama. They don't know whether to love daddy or hate daddy. But you are initiating this engagement with them. Don't let them leave you the way they came. Don't let them leave broken with shame and disgrace and unsettled in their lives today. But usher into them the love and the mercy that I know you have and have shown even toward my life. Let them experience it today in the name of Jesus. You recognize what you need. If you want to do something about it, walk toward this altar and meet Jesus, as Paul went to the street called Straight and sat and waited for the unveiling of the Holy Spirit. I invite you to leave where you are and come to this place called Straight. Today, you're going to have an encounter, an undeniable encounter with the Lord. God spoke to Paul and told him, go to the street called Straight. And a man named Ananias will come and lay hands on him, and you'll receive your sight. If you can connect with what happened with Paul and see yourself in that situation, I want you to leave where you are and come to this altar. This is your Straight Street today. I want you to make the choice. I want you to make the choice. Don't just recognize it. Do something about it. Meet God where he wants to meet you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Make your own choice.